I remember I parked at the McDonald's parking lot to go see Nemesis.
Right, it saved like $3.
Yeah, and then we came out. Car's gone.
No,
towed to the tow lot. I was showing my cheapness on an early date with Anne, and then we had to go to like the tow lot.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question: will you see it?
Hello, Ted.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, this week we don't have Skype. Why is that?
I guess you're preparing for a little family getaway.
Yeah, so we're here in the valley, and we're hanging out with Ted, and we're in person this week. So
in
very
person,
cool.
Yeah, last week I mentioned that I was jealous of your money guys, and we get to crack a beer together this week.
Yeah, I know. It's a rare and wonderful occasion that we have.
Just like you had last week, like you said, you had a bottle of Logic. This is also a bottle of Logic that I bought this from the good old Handy Market down in Burbank.
A collab.
Oh, it is a collab of, yes, Horace Aged Ales. Maybe that's their collab. You're right.
Yeah, Horace Aged Ales. I thought so.
Cool. So we'll talk about this. This is a Staff of Asir Barrel Aged Strong Ale. Strong ale aged in bourbon barrels and finished with macadamia nuts, cocoa butter, and lactose sugar.
Cocoa butter? What, am I trying not to get stretch marks?
All right.
Man, the honors.
Service.
So next time we're together, I will definitely be the one who brings beer to the table. Well, don't pour too much. I mean, I want to make sure you get some.
Well, I try to get a vigorous pour because, you know.
Yeah, go for the vigorous pour. Just dump it in, like throw it in the glass. Go for it. Have just all of it. Go for it.
There you go.
Well, hey, cheers. Cheers. Yeah. Oh, wow. Mm. That is creamy, bourbony good. So what was it, cognac? Barrels?
No, it's bourbon barrels.
Bourbon barrels. Okay, it does taste bourbon.
I think the lactose sugar really helps mask. This is the 13.46% ABV.
Ugh. So I forget what I had last week, but I think you beat me this week.
Well, no, we were drinking the same one, so that's fine. Yeah. But I do remember last week you said it goes out to the 100th decimal. So,
right.
So they're such fans of their ABV.
Yeah, they want to be precision, right? Precision.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, the beer, I mean, just really quick.
We can share the same notes.
Definitely caramel notes, but you could taste the bourbon, too, though.
I mean,
the bourbon is very forward on the palate with this.
But it's not a bitey bourbon. It's like a smoother bourbon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I would also say that it's the lactose, maybe? I don't know, but it's very creamy.
Yes.
Yeah, so wonderful. All right, so now that you're over being sick, and some of my family got sick, Timmy stayed home on Valentine's Day from school, unfortunately.
I didn't get Timmy sick over
No, over not over Skype. Skype. Not over Skype. Just making sure. But other than being sick and getting done being sick, how was your week?
Good week. Amazing podcasting week.
An amazing podcasting week.
So Monday and Tuesday, I was still getting over being sick, and Anne was getting home from being back east. So Tuesday, she got home Monday night, and Tuesday she said, oh, everybody should just stay home an extra day, which, you know, sounded pretty good to me.
This was Wednesday?
This was Tuesday of last week.
Right, but to stay home on Wednesday.
No, to stay home on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And then Tuesday night, I said, well, tomorrow's podcasting movement evolution starts on Wednesday. So I went into work on Wednesday morning, had half a day of work on Wednesday. And then because I had planned it, I took the rest of the day off Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday I spent at the podcasting movement evolutions.
So you were there 3.5 days?
3.5 days. Well, two full days and 2 half days, basically.
Oh, I see.
So okay. Wednesday was a half day of just orientation and like meet and greets with different people and getting to know some of the other podcasters. And then Thursday and Friday had a full schedule of panels and events and different things going on.
Very cool.
So
did you learn a lot?
I learned a lot. I think it reinforced what you and I have discussed over these past couple of years about podcasting and how to do it. And
so what took us a couple of years to figure out, you got done in 3.5 days or
yes,
whatever.
If you're a new podcaster, I would highly recommend something like the Creator Track. But I went there by the grace of bitcast.fm. So Marcus sent me, and I had a lot of learnings on how podcasters want to share their podcasting experience with their audience and kind of just be more involved with their audience. So that was something that was great to, you know, really reinforce the things we're trying to do at Bitcast.
Yeah, so essentially like discovery of podcasts and getting people to listen to the things about pod, like a certain podcast that they might want to hear, but kind of get rid of the stuff they don't want to hear. Like
exactly
what we talked about our week. They want to get to the trailers.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that was the week. And then on Friday night, part of the reason I couldn't record on Friday night, I was also very podcasted out by spending all day on panels about podcasting.
Oh, man.
But Audrey had her winter dance or whatever, spring dance. I guess it's spring now. But her 8th grade dance. It's kind of a big deal.
Spring dance, first week of February.
First week of February. Yeah, yeah, I think so. That's why I was like, is it winter? Is it spring? What is it? But she had a dance with her girlfriends. You know, she went with a boy, but I guess it's strange. The boy asked her to the dance, but we chatted with the mom, and the mom was chaperoning, so it was cool. But they hung out a little bit at the dance, you know, they danced, I guess, but he didn't want to go to hang out afterwards, which is fine. All the girls did. They all went to Bob's after, and they hung out at Bob's for like Bob's Big Boy for like 3 hours, drinking, you know, burgers, eating burgers and drinking milkshakes and stuff. Oh,
man, I wish I went to that dance.
So Bryce and I were there too, and all the moms are there. So the mom sat at a different table, and Bryce and I sat at the bar, and Bryce got his cake and tea. And after he was done with his cake and tea, he's like, I want to sit in the car. So we sat in the car.
Why in the car?
Because he wanted to lay down and go to sleep. So he laid down and went to sleep, and I passed out too.
And he's in the 5th grade.
He's in the 5th grade, yes. Yeah. He's getting ready to go to middle school. So they're going to miss each other. She's going to go to high school, and he's going to go to middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I fell asleep in the car, and it was like 11. I woke up at 11:30. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm like homeless, sleeping in my car.
A hobo.
At the Bob Big Boy parking lot. And they weren't even out yet. So the dance ended at 9.
Dance is like in the gymnasium
or
something?
The dance was at the gym at the school. It was like 7 to 9 or 6:30 to 9. So probably 7 to 9.
Yeah.
And then from 9:30 to 11:30, they were at Bob's, like just hanging out and carrying on like little middle school girls are wont to do.
That's funny. Cackling and stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. But they had a great night, so that was a lot of fun. And I
very cool.
And I don't remember it as vividly, but I think we had a dance.
Well, you were sleeping in the car.
Well, no, I mean I don't remember my 8th grade dance as vividly.
I don't think I had one.
Really?
No, I went to this Christian school, and like dancing was of the devil or something. I don't know, but yeah, it was bizarre.
We went to a all girls school dance. It's called Visitation in Georgetown. I don't know if you've heard of Visitation. It's a high school. It's kind of a feeder school into Georgetown.
Yeah, okay.
But it's an all-girls school. We went because we're an all-boys Catholic military school in the area. So we went to their school dance. I think it was freshman year. And we thought it was so lame that we jumped out of the window and started running across the soccer field to get out, and we were caught by nuns. The nuns caught us with their flashlights, and the nuns were chaperoning, and they carted us back into the gymnasium to finish the dance and get picked up by our parents.
And then they started whacking you with like the three-sided rulers.
Yeah.
Kneel on the rulers, you know.
How was your week?
quiet week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're heading to Legoland with the boys, right. So that'll be fun. That's Carlsbad, California, I believe. And yeah, just training, you know, training more for Leadville. And like I said, Timmy was sick, so I went into work in the morning and then came home late morning, like around maybe a little before lunchtime, I guess. And then Clarissa went to work, so we kind of tag teamed it that way. So
happy Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, that was our Valentine.
And then passing in the night, passing midday.
Yeah, and then because of that, she wound up getting home late. And then I brought work home, so then he slept most of the day, and I was writing reports at home. And, you know, it was kind of a, you know, not the Friday we were thinking of, the Valentine's we were hoping for. But other than that, though, I mean, you know, he's on the mend and he's feeling better and he's getting all well again.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much quiet week, though, which, you know, quiet weeks are always good. I made some homemade pizza, but other than that, you know, hey.
Yeah, I'm very lucky that Anne does not buy into the whole Valentine's Day thing. You know, we kind of bah humbug it as a Hallmark holiday.
Well, I can say with certainty, neither myself nor Clarissa bought cards.
Oh, good.
There were no flowers exchanged. I don't think either of us wished each other a happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I think we were just like, you know what, the kid's sick, let's plan this day, let's get these things done. I wound up making dinner and stuff, right, you know, and right. Like I said, I made homemade pizzas, and then we had some beers when she got home, and watched some Mr. Robot.
There you go, awesome.
So
more about that after.
Yeah, we can get to what we're watching in a little bit, but no, I mean, I wouldn't say we protest, like, Valentine's. Sweetest Day, I'm definitely protesting.
Sweetest Day?
Yeah, it's like October or something.
Oh, there's a thing? Oh, that's awful.
Hallmark tries to sell cards, you know. They need to make money.
We have a dip in October we need to fill.
That's right.
I will say, I went to CVS for some hairspray for Audrey's hair on Friday night, and she needed extra hold hairspray. You know? So I went in there, and it was a madhouse. There were like 15, 20 guys in there trying to figure out what they're going to get. Their significant others on the way home. And it was ridiculous.
Oh my God, she's going to break up with me if I don't do something. I'll tell you what, hey, to you single guys out there, after so many, 10 plus, you've been married,
20 years.
20?
It'll be 20, we've been together 20, it'll be 20 and 2020 this year, yeah.
So you've been together 20?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we look at been together, that would be 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're 17 together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and wow, I mean, like, when you think of it in those terms, it seems like a lifetime. All right, man. So speaking of, I don't even know what that means. The French Dispatch.
Yes.
So from what I gather, the title is the French Dispatch of the Liberty, Kansas Evening Sun.
Yes.
Yeah, Wes Anderson film.
So let's talk a little bit about how this came to be.
It's Wes Anderson.
Wes Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, Wes Mr. whatever, I don't know. So how this came to be, with Anne's text,
she was super excited about this, and she was trying to help us program because she knew I was burnt out on podcasting from all of the podcast conference. So she sent us a link to some Nerdist thing about the poster, and she sent it to the group chat for, you know, all four of us.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was a little befuddled, but he was a little busy.
Well, let's back up a second, though. So one of the things that when we first started the podcast, it was trailers and movie media marketing, and it could also be like
posters
and
out of home. Yeah.
Right. The stuff that's on the side of buses, you know, you name it. So Anne thought, like, how about you guys do a poster? You haven't done a poster in a while. And so I thought, okay, whatever. So I look at it, and I'm like, man, is that one busy poster? And essentially, it's like the side of a building with all of the different doors and windows. Mm-hmm. And all the major characters, or actors, I should say, are in these windows and doors.
Right.
As the character that they're playing. And yeah, it was just super busy for me. And I was just like, man, that's just like visual overstimulus. So that's how it came about. And then, and she was just trying, we were like crowdsourcing with Ted's wife about getting, movies.
Yeah.
So the one thing I wanted to mention, and you brought this up too, mm-hmm. it's Searchlight Pictures.
Oh, yes.
And so what happened to Fox Searchlight? That was a big thing for a while.
Yes.
And now it's just Searchlight. So it's kind of like the art house goes more art house? What's going on here?
No, I think it's just now, once again, I will do my obligatory disclaimer that I'm not speaking for Disney, and I'm also not saying anything negative about Disney, which is part of our bylines of social media.
Wait, so Disney owns Searchlight?
Disney owns all things Fox, or most of things Fox.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So part of what Disney is doing now with the branding of the items that were Fox at one time is they're purging some of the Fox branding. So Fox Searchlight has now become Searchlight, and 20th Century Fox has now become 20th Century Studios.
Oh.
So those are the two big ones that have kind of lost the Fox branding. Fox, the television channel, is still going to be Fox, but it's definitely part of something that we at Disney, you know, are great supporters of. So you can't just call it nothing.
So essentially like Fox Sports.
So Fox Sports is, yeah. So
they'll just call it sports.
No, I think Fox Sports and Fox the network will remain Fox branded and under Disney's control and ownership.
So it was like Rupert Murdoch out of the loop or something?
Well,
or?
He's out of it. He has the news and he has the local affiliates.
Oh, I see.
So okay. He has Fox News, which will remain Fox News and under Rupert's control. And then the local affiliates are still all
so
owned by.
So he held on to certain properties and sold off other properties.
He sold most of it.
Got it.
And then he kept those two main kind of properties.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know. What does it feel like it loses something when you take Fox out of the title?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
If anything, I think it, well, I was going to say it gains. But what I think it gains is a sense of like smaller, even though we know it's not smaller,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Disney is just enormous. But
well, yeah. At least they didn't do Disney Searchlight. That would have been a little
yeah. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at Disney Searchlight, and it's like, well, where's Pinocchio?
Right, right.
You know, and then like whenever I hear Disney, all too often I think of like children's programming.
Yes,
their children's movies, shows,
or family. Oriented.
Yeah, that's maybe a better way to put it. Like children's and family.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if it's ABC. Or Marvel and so on, and they, you know, Star Wars, and they own these properties, but I don't see that as family as much as I do just the Disney name itself.
Right.
So I think Searchlight is more than adequate.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because when Disney bought Marvel, they didn't change anything about Marvel's branding or Marvel anything, and they didn't add Disney on top of Marvel. So they didn't say Disney's Marvel, you know. When they bought Pixar, they added Disney to it. So it's Disney's Pixar Disney's Pixar.
Did they do that?
So they have a bit of a co-branding with Pixar stuff, but they didn't do anything with Lucas either. So I think they know when to keep the Disney brand kind of at arm's length of the properties that they buy. And then,
as they should,
they're pretty smart about it. And then this is an interesting thing where they've actually removed some just what would be considered co-branding in a space that doesn't necessarily need it, you know.
Well, getting back to the trailer,
yes,
let's talk aesthetics really quick.
Yes,
most of the trailer is like a 1-to-1 aspect ratio.
Oh yeah, I love
it. Do you think the movie's going to be that, or do you think it's going to be that, or that's strictly for the trailer? What's your opinion?
No, I think it's going to be I think it's an old school aspect ratio, kind of TV aspect ratio, very close to 1-to-1. But I like,
yeah, like TV's 4:3.
Yeah, I like that. The concept of it, it really feels like going all the way back to the poster, and we'll put the poster up on the website, and through the trailer, it feels like a Tati movie or a Tati kind of inspired.
Oh yeah, okay.
Look, because sure. When you look at playtime, and when you look at Monsieur Hulot's holiday, and he walks through that building, and he has that whole, you know, single locked off shot of him walking up to his apartment building. It's very similar to the aesthetic of the poster. I love.
That's the first thing that I thought was the poster when I saw that opening scene or that opening shot of the. I don't know who the guy was walking up the stairs, but for sure. And one of my favorite points is when I heard Owen Wilson when he was working on his bicycle, and my first thought was that Owen Wilson? Because his voice is so distinctive, and I was really happy to hear his voice.
Right.
And then when you see all the actors, I mean, you have Bill Murray, well, Owen Wilson, I mentioned, and I mean, they just, well, there's the laundry list.
They rattle them off.
Yeah, they just rattle them off for you. And, you know, Francis McDormand. And I mean, there's so many, you know, and I mean, it's just a wealth of actors.
Yeah. And Wes Anderson as an auteur, has this palette of actors that love to work with him. So it's he has a comedy of riches when it comes to acting talent and the people that want to work with him. So it's something I always look forward to his movies. And this looks like another top-notch Wes Anderson. You know, I the only thing about the aspect ratio and about the aesthetic of it is that it doesn't look as artful as a Moonrise Kingdom. I think Moonrise Kingdom and his couple of animated ones, Fantastic Mr. Fox, they had this aesthetic, or the shots. Oh, and also Isle of Dogs. They just had such a beautiful shot selection and setup of framing of everything that was just, everything was like a painted picture. So I kind of feel like this one kind of lost a little bit of that. This one's more on the veins of, what's the aquatic life? What was that one?
Oh, Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic. Yeah, this one feels a little more along those lines, which, you know, has definitely some of those established shots, but not as meticulously curated as the Moonrise Kingdoms.
Right. And so I'll give you an either or question. So would you say this is either a stage act or a stage play with three acts, or more of a caricature of like French culture?
Oh yeah, definitely a caricature of French culture.
So you don't think it's more of like a off-Broadway stage, like a Neil Simon almost, is what I got the feeling of.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that, you know, Rushmore would never be matched as far as like the way that he kind of staged that, and then there's the play within the play. Within Rushmore.
Because they do have like story one, story two, story three in this trailer.
Yeah, I just, maybe there's some space for it to, you know, go down different paths, but it definitely felt more like a caricature study.
Yeah.
Caricature study.
Yeah. I mean, knowing that Anne put this up for us to review, I mean, I'm sure she's excited about it. So you're probably going to see it with her, I would guess.
Yes, we will see it.
Is this a theater one for you, or more for the home?
I don't know. I think for the home.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's for the home. All right, The Green Knight. So we're going to do two trailers this week.
Yes.
And The Green Knight, it's a teaser trailer from A24.
Yeah.
Back thoughts.
To A24. I'm happy A24 is doing this. It feels big.
It does feel big. Yeah.
Like, it feels like they're stepping up and
blockbuster-esque.
Yeah, they're doing like they're doing something that feels like, not Lord of the Rings, but what's that HBO?
Game of Thrones.
It feels Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It feels Game of Thrones caliber. And A24 budget. Who knows? Like, they obviously spent a lot of money on this, it feels like.
Well, and I think if with their budget, I mean, whether that's large or small, they do bring that art house feel and the creativity of it. So within that creativity, they could probably get a lot more bang for their buck than just throwing money at a lot of CGI.
But it feels like it has it in there, right? I mean, doesn't it feel bigger than
CGI?
Anything? It feels like it's bigger than anything A24 has done before.
Oh, I would agree with that. Yeah. And it was funny. I told Clarissa, I said, I think you'll like this, you know, because of that Game of Thrones
aspect.
Feel. Yeah. And she said, wow, we should see this. I said, yeah, this looks like a good one. I'm looking forward for when it at least comes to home video.
Right, right.
And she said, you know what? You should make a list of all the movies that we've that you've reviewed and we'd like to see. I said, we have a list. It's called TrailerJunkiesPodcast.com.
That's so right. It's on the site.
Yeah, if you, dear listener, would like to go check out our list, go to TrailerJunkiesPodcast.com, and you can see the list we've acquired now over 105 episodes.
That's right. And we should definitely say that I've taken some notes from Podcast Movement, and I will be doing some homework over the coming weeks, and we should have a tighter, you know, we'll do a little more with our website and a little more with our offerings.
Very cool. So I have to say, though, the medieval fantasy is very cool. Mm-hmm. I like the whole, like, shtick, you know, of, like, the knight, he's got to fight the big bad guy, whatever monster, that guy right. is. But the thing that I found most especially pleasing mm-hmm. was when the puppet was beheaded and all the and all children the flinched. Wonderful. That was so fun.
Yes, it was definitely, and it was unexpected, right? It was like
I think I flinched.
Yeah, it was a moment in the trailer where, you know, you expect it to be one thing and then it was something completely different.
For so sure.
It was that A24 refreshingness of, like, taking something that is meant for a certain type of audience and then showing you that we're going to actually plus this out.
And I think that's a good point. As you said, it's refreshing with A24. And I think that's what I meant when I was saying they could take, let's assume their budget's smaller than, you know, like the movie Avatar, right? That's a huge blockbuster.
Right.
But you take the art house feel and all of their creativity that mm-hmm. they can throw at something with a limited budget. And sometimes, especially in art, limits, like, foster creativity.
Yes.
Because you have to think outside the box in mm-hmm. order to get that creativity. And I really get that feel here where you're not going to have massive amounts of money thrown at a project. And, you know, I didn't do any homework to see what their budget was because I didn't know we were going to talk about that. But yeah, I mean, overall, though, I would say that the feel of it is very creative.
Yeah.
And it has that creepy, like, the creep factor to it.
Right. It borders on the line of horror.
It sort of does with the sound score.
You think it's going to go down horror. And then even A24, when you see A24, they have such a horror rep that you feel like it could be a high-end horror film. And then when the giant or the monster is kind of revealed, you're like, oh, well, this could also be just traditional chivalry kind of film, you know? It could, which hasn't been done in a long time, or at least done like this. So it's interesting.
And the one thing I thought, too, is, like, a big budget, they would have had dragons. So they didn't have the budget, so they put some tall guy in a rubber suit. And then he comes out.
And just shoot him at a weird angle.
Right. And make sure
the forced perspective.
And then, like, in the old days in Hollywood, when they had the guys like John Wayne stand in front of small doors
right.
to make sure that they looked bigger and right, so on. Right, it's going right. to be one of those kind of, like, you know, let's mess with the angles and the shots and get creative with it. So, but no, I mean, I know Clarissa is pretty excited about the Green Knight.
Cool.
I think, yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah.
I think it's more at home viewing. Mm-hmm. I have to say, it's like the older I get, the more I like to view at home.
It's easier.
It's easier.
Popcorn's cheaper.
I can pause when I need to pee. Just pause when I want to go to the fridge to crack another beer. You know, and yeah, it's like, and then you're underneath, especially those cold winter nights, you're snuggled up underneath the covers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just fun that way. I like that. So, any final thoughts on either trailer before or any other thing that you've seen?
Yeah. So, what do you think about Dave Patel? Like, him as, like, this hero, like an action hero. He's like, he's normally like your thoughtful
kind of
lead, your romantic.
That's what I was saying, like the rom-com guy.
Yeah, he's kind of like, but he has, like, Lion. He did Lion, that great Indian, like, movie about a little boy who's lost in the trains in India, you know, and finally finds his family after being adopted by him, you know, by a family, you know. So I think it's interesting to have him break out of that genre or break into this genre. So I think it's an interesting place to place him. And I know Anne had some David Copperfield trailer that I was like, neither Take It or Leave It, which was also Dave Patel. And I wasn't ready to do a Dave Patel trailer spective this week. But I just think it's, he's really trying to break out. So his agent is doing some heavy lifting for him and getting him into different things.
Well, didn't we talk about Daniel Radcliffe a little bit about that last week?
Yeah, like exactly.
Breaking out of roles into new roles or trying to create new identities
in
movie and film.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I like seeing actors stretch themselves and break into different, genres, different characters. If you think about Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Obviously an action hero.
Yes.
Big muscle-bound dude. But then all of a sudden, like, Kindergarten Cop kind of broke out of that when he was pregnant.
Yes. Junior.
Yeah, Junior, and some of them were a little bit bizarre.
Campy with twins, yeah.
Right. But then it's like, you think about most of his tenure was in the Terminators and
Commando
and all of the action hero kind of movies. I like watching people change what they're doing and stretch their characters. And sometimes you see people, I don't have any examples off the top of my head right now, but sometimes you see people acting and they really like tone it down and they get into some slow, thoughtful, whether it's romantic or it's something that's, around a family and there's like illness or sickness or like some sort of, whether it's, people like close family members passing away and you see these people really stretch themselves into these roles.
Right.
Yeah. So for something like this, and who knows how it's going to play out? It could be romantic.
Yeah.
They're just, it's a teaser. They're not showing it to us yet, right?
Right, exactly. I was surprised that for a teaser, they showed so much of the giant or the monster or whatever. So
right at the end there?
That was nice.
Yeah, for sure.
It always made me forget there was a teaser. But I think what you're talking about is similar to Awkwafina. I don't know if you know the
Awkwafina.
The actress Awkwafina.
Yeah.
She's, she's done a lot of like straight up stuff. She's, kind of a lighthearted actress. She kind of does like popcorn movies and things like that, like the Ocean's 8. But then she did The Farewell, which Anne saw recently. It's a stretch because it's a heartfelt Chinese, family movie. So I think when we talked about Daniel Radcliffe last week, and I think when we talk about Dave Patel this week, the sooner you can break out of whatever you're going to be typecasted into, the better. So I think, as being a parent of kids who are trying to be actors and actresses, if my kids were ever so lucky as to get a TV show, per se, between seasons one and season two, I would try to get them to do something that was completely off brand of the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you're not biting the hand that feeds you, per se, but you're at least stretching yourself so that people are already ready for you to break out of the character after the run of whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that to me, that's the difference between like Daniel Radcliffe, who just all he did was Harry Potter through the run of the show. If between one of the movies and, between one and two, he had done something off brand, then it might have been easier to do it. I think when
perhaps it was contracted where he couldn't, though.
Maybe.
Maybe
it's just so rapid of a succession of movies that you can't really work in.
As they were releasing,
God, these kids are getting older. We got to make sure we finish shooting this out before they become adults,
Yeah. I mean, because if you think about like in that, year after year, it's like fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade.
So you have to match them as they're growing up. You don't have the time to do it.
Yeah, so it's okay if they're a year older because they should be a year older. But you can't all of a sudden go back to Hogwarts when they're like 30 and play them out like they're 16 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think Steven Soderbergh did it the best, but he was obviously behind the camera. But every time he does a movie or did a movie early on in his career, he broke the genre. He did something that was against type of his last movie. And I think that's something that maybe even if it's like shorts, even if it's something that you could do, like, I just think you should interject – the variations throughout your career early on, as early as you can manage. So your audience is more apt to accept you in a wider range of roles.
So are you the kind of guy when you watch movies and you're like, oh, what was he in? IMDb.
Yes, I have my phone out in the theater trying to find out what movie he was in, yes.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I tell Anne, put your phone away. She's like, but we're just watching trailers. I said, I know, this is the most important part of the movie going experience.
You're not a trailer junkie.
She's like, I'm writing down the trailer so you know which ones we saw.
How many times have you seen something? And so when watching Mr. Robot, mm-hmm. the guy who runs Allsafe, I'm like, what was he in? I can't picture it. Well, he was the president in House of Cards on Netflix. So I was like, I knew it. I saw him somewhere, you know. But so speaking of getting into that, so that is a good transition into what we're watching. So what have you been watching? I know you've been busy with all your podcasting stuff.
So I have been watching some stuff. What's that, the Aaron Hernandez?
The Mind of Aaron Hernandez?
Did you watch it? I watched the first 20 minutes of it, but it is devastating.
Oh, it's so sad.
It is heartbreaking, the story of him, his brother, his father.
You know what I mean? It was rough.
And then to hear the audio, the phone calls from jail.
Yeah.
Where he's joking with his wife.
Like, I don't think he got it.
He didn't get it. And she was like, and she was joking with him about not visiting him and stuff. It was just like heart-wrenching with a baby, you know. It's just like everything about it was. And I'm about 20 or 30 minutes in. And it was one of those things that I was watching right before bed. And I was like, I need a palate cleanser. I need something to watch, something short and sweet that I can go to sleep with, because this is not going to make for good dreams.
Yeah, I think it's 6 episodes, if I recall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I mean, it goes deep. I mean, they're interviewing, you know, a bunch of a lot of his friends and everything, but like patriots, you know, who are now retired and stuff.
Right.
And I mean, it's...
I got to get to the CTE stuff. So
yeah, that comes like at the end. Okay. So you got a long way to go. Okay. So you got to wade through all the other stuff.
Right. So I watched a little bit of that, only half of the first episode, I guess. But I'm engaged. I'm enthralled, and it feels a little bit like Slow Burn, which I know you had said you didn't know about. But Slow Burn is a podcast, a very popular podcast, and I started listening to that.
I will check it out.
Season 3 of Slow Burn is Tupac versus Notorious B.I.G. So it's interesting to listen to that. But another one that's so heavy, you know, and I don't understand how people can do all this heavy viewing. Like, are your lives so light and fluffy that you need to watch your...
I need to be brought down. I have prosperity guilt.
So I was looking around and I finally said, all right, I'm going to bite the bullet. And early this weekend, I guess it was Saturday, I said, Anne, we're finally going to watch Picard. So I ponied up the $5.99.
Is that what it is, $5.99?
Yeah, so for CBS All Access, well, I actually don't know exactly what it is. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But when you buy it on your iPhone, it just charges to your phone account, so I don't even know what it costs. But I'm guessing
convenient.
I'm guessing it's $5.99. They've definitely taken out all of the friction in purchasing when you're on your iPhone. It's
and
like,
not only
you bought that, you subscribed to CBS All Access, and I was like, how much is it? They're like, oh, you don't care. Why do you just...
And not only the friction, like, they just bury it and everything. Well, what's funny, too, is, like, when we did HBO for a little while, I think I did it through Roku, and it just, like, somehow my credit card's already in Roku.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, I just clicked on HBO, and it's like, in 7 days, you'll be charged $15 a month.
There you go.
And I was like, all right, baby, we're going to watch what we watch, and we're out. So 2 months later, we got everything in, and we were out.
There you go.
But we'll probably go back to HBO again. It's just, I like to wait until they build up, like, their little library and stuff that we want to see, and then this way we could just, like, we could watch things. You know, we were watching Barry for a while, and Game of Thrones, and... Silicon Valley. There were a few Westworld and stuff, and we got the shows we wanted to watch, and we finished them, and we were like, okay, no sense in keeping it anymore. We bailed, and we'll just come back maybe when the shows build up again and we'll watch them.
Yeah. So we are two episodes into Picard, but I will say, like, the beyond the show's great, I think. We'll see how it develops. I think there's only four episodes out right now. It releases every Thursday, which is kind of weird to me. And then there is a promo that they play during the commercial breaks, where CBS All Access talks about all of the Star Trek shows that they have in their library. So wow. they kind of supersell you on, like, we have every single Star Trek series that you would want.
All the way back to, like,
the original
Captain Pike.
The original.
Wow.
The original Shatner stuff, you know.
Well, Shatner wasn't the original.
Well, I mean.
But I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
So he was the original, and I know Pike was in there, but Pike was only in there for a little.
Well, it was one episode.
Couple episodes, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, all the other ones, Enterprise, Deep Space Nine, and they just kind of super serve you, like, hey, if you like Picard, you might like all of these shows.
Wow.
So I thought that was an interesting way of, you know, like, cutting something that was new for CBS All Access that is, you know, contemporary, that you're going to put into this.
Okay, another either or.
Yeah.
So you have to have one. Well, you don't have to. You could have none.
Right.
But if you had to choose, are you more of a Star Trek guy or a Star Wars guy?
It's hard to say.
Now, when I say Star Trek, though, it's like all of Star Trek. Like, it's not like Deep Space Nine only. I mean,
right.
It could be like going all the way back to the originals up through, well, Picard right now.
Right. I don't know. I think I'm Star Wars.
You think you're Star Wars?
I'm Star Wars, but as a couple, Anne and I are definitely Star Trek. Like,
I didn't know she was that into it.
When we were dating, that was the movies that we went to go see. We went to see.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nemesis and First Contact and all that stuff. Those are I parked at the McDonald's parking lot to go see Nemesis.
Right, it saved like $3.
Yeah, and then we came out. Car's gone.
No.
It was towed to the tow lot. I was showing my cheapness on an early date with Anne, and then we had to go to, like, the tow lot.
So it's like
pre-Uber, like, you know?
This no, like, so again, if you think about it in, like, an either or, it's like frugal or cheap. That's cheap.
It's too cheap.
Yeah. $5 for parking would have been way more frugal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious, man. Well, that wasn't your first date, though.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
God.
Okay.
Thank God. That would be so awful.
Dude, that would have been awesome. Hey, baby, let's park over here. That'll give us $3 extra for popcorn. Sorry, I can't take you home. Let's go to the tow lot. Oh, man.
Yeah, led for a lifetime of I told you so's. But yes, yeah, so I guess that's quite a bit of watching and stuff that we used to watch. How about you? You're watching a lot of stuff.
Well, let's back up. So if I were to choose, because I like them both too.
Oh, yes.
Man, like, growing up as a kid, me and my dad would watch Star Trek. Now, keep in mind, they were, by the time I came around, they were the reruns.
Right.
You know, they were in what do you call it, syndicate or whatever?
Syndication, yeah.
Yeah, syndication. But we would watch Star Trek all the time, you know? And then Next Generation came out, and I kind of turned my nose up to it at first.
Yeah.
Because I was such an original Star Trek guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend Brian, he was totally hooked on Next Gen.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. Well, that was a mistake, because then I was hooked on it. And then, of course, all the movies.
Yeah.
With the original cast. And then, of course, the movies later.
With both original casts?
With both original casts. Well, no, and then the J.J. Abrams ones.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
Just all of them. You know, all the Star Treks. So, like, I really enjoy Star Trek. And I think Star Trek just has more meaning. It's more meaningful in that it's part of, you know, it's like the Earth and the future.
Right.
Star Wars, if you count, like, Star Wars, you know, New Hope, the original one, Empire, and half of Jedi, like I always like to say, some of those defined my childhood.
Right.
I mean, they were phenomenal. I think is like now we're going through the Clone Wars and stuff with the boys. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I do like, you know, Star Wars. I still go see them in the theater, just like Star Trek, you know, and everything. But if I had to choose an either or, I would probably go Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, I think philosophically it's deeper. I think there's more meaning to like what is like kind of the meaning of life kind of stuff, you know, and the writing, I think, if you pay attention, the writing has more depth.
It's purpose-driven.
It's purpose-driven, I like that. So I think that's the reason why, where I think if you think about the original Star Wars, it's a very simple story.
Yes.
Executed with perfection, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
And I think by the time, like, Phantom Menace came around and stuff, like, Lucas just lost his vision.
Right.
And he just started making crazy, like...
CGI decisions.
CGI, fill the screen with a lot of stuff.
Right.
Aliens farting, and it just got to be, like, too ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
But if he stuck to what he originally did, and he carried those things through... And he didn't have, like, the monotone Amidala, whatever. Amidala, yeah. If he didn't have the monotone, like, all of that stuff, I probably would be picking Star Wars. But, like, I think Star Trek is much better written.
Yeah. So I definitely think they're completely different
when you have, they are completely different.
When you compare them, it's like Star Trek is purposeful and hopeful about the future. It's really about the future of mankind and humanity. And then when you look at Star Wars...
It's about building a bigger gun.
when you look at Star Wars is about archetypes and about mythology and about the past and about gods and men and, you know what I mean? It's about the core of good and evil, where good and evil kind of exist on a plane beyond humanity.
Right.
So that's why Joseph Campbell loved the whole, you know, that's why Lucas loved Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell understood what Lucas was doing with the archetypes of the hero with a thousand faces. So when you have somebody who studied mythology like Joseph Campbell, he loves the new take on all the mythologies of Roman mythology and Greek mythology and the cave, and every single aspect of mythology is kind of addressed in this archetypal way in the original trilogy of Star Wars, which is what Joseph Campbell and Bill Moyers talked about in that great documentary series all those years ago. So it's that power of mythology that was just explained very, very succinctly in the original trilogy. So while that looks to the past and looks to, you know, these archetypes, it doesn't really address problems in society the way that Star Trek
did. Yeah.
You know, and in Star Trek, not only did they say things about the future and the way things ought to be, but they put their money where their mouth is, and they hired Asian actors and African American actors and female actresses, you know.
The show with the first interracial kiss.
Exactly. So, I mean, in the
60s. And it wasn't even a blue alien.
They had that too, though. So, yeah. So I think it's definitely very different and... You could never choose. I could never choose one over the other, but I don't know. I think.
Well, it's, you know what the beauty is?
We don't have to.
We don't have to. Exactly. Exactly. But they're good thought experiments.
Yes.
So what was I watching? Yes. So I'm looking forward to seeing Ford versus Ferrari. Haven't seen it yet, but priming myself to see it. I watched Shelby American.
Oh.
And that was on Netflix, and Shelby American, I didn't realize it until, like, I saw the credits roll and everything, but it was an Adam Carolla production.
Oh, wow.
And pretty awesome about how Carroll Shelby came along and, you know, it pretty much chronicled his life from World War II and on up through building all the amazing cars that he did and wanting to dominate Ferrari, but Ferrari kept kicking his ass. And, but, you know, every once in a while, they got Ferrari, and then Ford came in. And
oh, man, you're totally ready for the movie then.
Oh, yeah, it was really good. Two-hour documentary, man, but it was awesome. Mr. Robot, we're still watching. And I want to make a correction from last week.
Okay.
So I predicted that it was more like Fight Club, where... the Christian Slater character was his alter ego. But it's more a schizophrenic hacker. So because we finished the first season, we're a couple episodes into the second season, and he's hallucinating his father. So it's not really an alter ego that I was speculating it would be, but rather his hallucinations are his dad is back in his life somehow, and he kind of doesn't even realize it's his dad until he has like an epiphany that it's his dad.
Right.
And then I love how later they're showing himself, like they're showing him choking himself, and people are looking like, what is this guy doing? But yeah, I mean, he's more just schizophrenic than he is having an alter ego of his desire to be a badass or something.
Yeah.
You know, and he's now talking to us. And I love how you said he puts us in positions like he blames us for not helping. He's like, and you just sat there doing nothing. Like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, like,
well, I mean, if you're high enough, you're like, oh my God, should I be doing something right
that's now? That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Before you go on, when you said getting ready to watch Ford versus Ferrari for the podcast movement, I had a whole bunch new cards printed up. So I had 20 new movie posters.
Oh, is that one of them?
And Ford versus Ferrari is one of them.
Awesome.
And I did my normal spiel where I laid out all the cards, and I was in front. I was at the desk of Bullhorn. And I don't know if you know Bullhorn. Bullhorn is the name of the app where you can call a phone number.
Okay.
And you can listen to a podcast over a conference call phone number. So it's not the best quality of, you know, it's a regular like listening on a conference call to a podcast, but it's a novel idea. Anyway, the gentleman that was running the booth was there, and I kind of laid out my 20 cards. And we had one of those interactions where he saw the Ford versus Ferrari poster and he pointed at it like emphatically. And he was like, oh my God, this is the best movie of 2019.
And we covered Ford versus Ferrari in episode 77, if you want to go back and listen.
Yes. And we'll put a link in there. But Ford versus Ferrari was one of the best movies, I thought, of the year. And I think it won some editing Oscar, I believe. But it was great to have this conversation with a stranger about a movie that he loved that was ended up being one of my posters from this, you know, series four of the Trailer Junkies podcast business card.
Cool. So it was
a neat little aside.
So another one, going back to episode 55, if you guys want to check it out, is I watched Arctic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Arctic was Castaway, but in the Arctic. So, yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. And I know I'm going to screw this one up. Maria Thelma Smaradartier. My apologies, Maria. But Maria Thelma Smaradartier. I think I got it. And so she had no lines. She didn't say anything. I don't even think she made an utterance. But her character name was The Young Woman. So she didn't even have a name. No, I thought it was like, how many ways can you have bad luck in the Arctic?
Right.
And I mean, every time you turn around, you're like, oh, he's going to make it. Another bad luck incident. So, but the part of it that was most jarring, and there's really no spoiler here, but it is at the very end. The end cuts out, and I'm not even going to say anything about what he doesn't see, what he sees. I'm not going to go in there. But everything goes, and the end scene has a brief blip of something that happens, and it immediately goes to black. So much so that I think, I'm merely speculating, no inside info, but I think they made it so the black was like a black card or something, rather than just going dark. And the reason I say that is I thought the power went out or whatever because the TV just cut out. And I thought, what the heck happened?
This is your new TV.
The new TV. Because I was in the garage on the trainer. So it cuts out, sound and everything. Like all this stuff's happening and bam, it was just off. And I thought, oh man, like the Roku broke. You know, Amazon's gone.
Timmy turned off the channel that you're watching.
That's what I, yeah.
6 o'clock in the morning.
And then I went for the remote because I thought it was off, and I picked up the remote and I was about to hit like power or something, thinking the TV blew out. And all of a sudden they started running the credits. And I was like, whoa, that was a cool ending. You know, I mean, it was jarring. Mm-hmm. It was so like abrupt, mm-hmm. the way they just cut it out, because you expected a little bit more from what you saw happening. And it was like middle of the scene, they just cut you off.
Yeah.
So, but overall, Amazon gave it three. Well, I should say Amazon gave it 3 stars, but on Amazon, it has 3 stars out of 5. Uh-huh. I think it deserves better than that. I mean, not a whole lot of. I mean, there might have been 30 lines in the whole movie.
When did you learn that it was a foreign film?
So, when I'm going on there, I see subtitles, uh-huh. right? And especially on the indoor trainer, I hate subtitles because it's like, all right, I'm doing intervals and stuff. And it's like, oh, my God, I got to read. But I saw subtitles and I thought, you know what? I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to watch it. And more or less, Mads Mikkelsen, you know, I think he's Danish, isn't he?
I think so.
I think so. Yeah. I'm not really 100% sure.
Sounds
but
right.
Of his 30 lines in the whole movie, he probably had 10 that were in Danish.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, F, another one. This wasn't on the map. WTF, where am I now? You know, like, those were like the lines he was that were subtitled. So it wasn't, I mean, he doesn't talk much in the movie.
Right, right.
I would say most of the movie is just him walking around the Arctic.
Yeah.
But he pulls it off. To where, like, it's gripping.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I would recommend it. I mean, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
The trailer is a little bit misleading, which, mm-hmm. we know trailers are wont to do.
Right.
But I'm not going to go into how, because...
Too much of a spoiler.
Well, I mean, things happen, and you're like, oh, that's how this happened, and so... But no, I thought it was really good. I thought it was really good. One of the things I've been wanting to talk about now for about 2 months... And I finally remembered in my show notes, uh-huh. is have you done anything with the Amazon X-ray?
Well, no, I mean,
but you're familiar. You're aware of it.
I pause things, and when you pause it, it shows up. Like IMDb stuff shows up. And
yeah, that's very cool.
Yes.
So it used to be like, who's that actor? Pull it up on my phone.
Right.
I'm missing scenes. They're subtitles. I'm looking at my phone. I can't read, you know, or whatever. Well, not that I can't read, but I'm not seeing it, so I don't know to read.
Right.
But now I just hit pause really quick. It shows me all the actors on the screen, gives me a little synopsis of something, I think, whatever it does. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, very cool. Unpause it, and I just drive on. So, right. I just wanted to mention that because I thought the X-ray
like
was...
a lot.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So I think that there's a bonus. There's another way to do that that's a little even more...
So you don't have to pause it.
So you don't have to pause it. I think you need like a second screen experience where on your phone, like I have an app on my phone that acts as the remote control for my television.
Yeah, like there's a Roku app, for example.
Right. So while you have the app that's open as the remote control for your television, because it's easier to type on that than to type on, you know, using the actual remote that comes with the TV, it should have that embedded in the app, or like when you load Amazon Prime.
See, what I would say is the app for your TV, there's too many TVs out there.
Right.
Right. What I would say is you're watching Amazon.
Exactly.
You have Amazon on your phone.
Right.
Yeah, you're watching Netflix, you have Netflix open on your phone.
Right, exactly.
It's almost like VH1.
Pop-ups,
right? Yes. Where it's like just random facts right. are just popping up constantly about like, this was filmed here.
Right.
The budget was this. The actor, like, you know, whatever VH1 pop-ups were.
Right.
Right?
You do like a Wikipedia thing, Wikipedia crossed with IMDb. For all the movies that you're watching. This is part of Pangolin, by the way. So
sound bubbles or whatever.
Yeah, well, in chat bubbles. It comes across like a chat.
That's what I meant.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
You know, and so you could even have it come up in your SMS feed.
Oh, if so you want to go that route.
It texts it to you while you're, you know, it recognizes you're watching Arctic. And then it says, did you know, and then it says, this is Mads, and it gives you a link to Mads.
He's Danish.
He's Danish. This is the girl that's like Wilson, the volleyball in the movie.
That's the same. No, you're exactly right, because I was thinking, like, she was Wilson. Yeah, that's why I said it was like Castaway.
Right, exactly. You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, true. I mean, but the ending wasn't as, like, it wasn't as, like, he goes to see his wife or whatever.
Right.
That stuff didn't happen.
Right.
Oh, my God, spoiler alert. No, I'm only kidding. But.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that idea, though.
I did watch another thing. Mystic, what was the thing?
Mystic Pizza.
No, I wish Mystic Pizza. That's awesome. I love that movie.
Yeah.
The Apple TV Plus series that I was going to watch, Mystic Quest.
Oh, Mystic Quest, yeah.
But I think I watched it too late at night one night, and I fell asleep, and there was like three episodes in, and I was like, oh God, I gotta start over at the beginning.
So on the Roku, they often, like, you have all your channels,
right?
And then to the right of it, they have like their little adverts, for shows, movies, channels, all kinds of stuff. And Mystic Quest was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
For Apple TV or Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
And I told Clarissa, I said, just like HBO, once they get a good enough library of stuff we want to see, let's turn it on. Like, we'll binge all this stuff and then, like, we'll just do what we're going to do and
watch a month or two and then get out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, two trailers this week, keeping it a little bit light. And we'll get ourselves out of here and off to Legoland.
Legoland, and we'll be doing Disneyland tomorrow, so.
Oh, you're doing Disneyland tomorrow.
It was a last-minute thing. We heard we're doing Disneyland tomorrow, so.
Nice.
Meeting up with friends.
We're hitting up the lands.
You know it, the lands. The lands of the South.
The lands of SoCal. Yeah, so.
All right,
man.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. All right,
bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.